It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I am glad that you've joined us. Please that you enjoy the study today. We're in the book of Philippians, and we're going to read from the 19th verse this morning. We're going to read from verse 19 down through verse 26. And so please that you would follow along with me. Open your Bibles while you're doing that. I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'd love to have you come to visit. If you have a church home and the church that you're attending is a Bible-preaching church that stands upon the truth, the Word of God, as we search this precious Word and as your eyes see and hear, I ask that you do also confirm that you're in the house, the church that God wants you to be in, that you can grow. And so if you have a church home, it's a good church home, it studies the precious Word of God, tells people how to be saved, and a good Bible-preaching church. Amen. We praise the Lord for that church, and please that you stay there, be faithful, work in that church. If you have that, then fine, just write me a note. I'd love to hear from you. And you would send it to the same address, Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois, and we're at 18th and Church Street. The zip is 62341. So I'd love to hear, either see, come by and see us, or hear from you and tell me that you're enjoying the study, that I've come to know Jesus Christ, that I've been saved 25 years ago, and I love to study the Word of God, and whatever. Please, that you let me know any way I can help you, if I can tell you and show you through the Word of God how to be saved. Whatever, please that you let me know, whatever I can help you with. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch, and so please that you give us that opportunity. About once a month, I like to go down through very quickly the activities that we have in each week. I don't like to take time each week to do that, each time we come together. But we do have church each and every Sunday, of course, and at 9:30 we have Sunday school. At 10:35 we have church service. At 7 o'clock in the evening, on Sunday evening, we have Bible study. At 7 o'clock on Monday evening, we have a Bible study up at the healthcare, up at the nursing home in La Harpe. And folks are able to come in, and we have several folks that drive in, and we have several residents that come. We love it. We have a great time up there, and it's just a joyful time every time that we have to study the Word of God. We also then on Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock have a ladies' Bible study here at the church. Wednesday night, at 7 o'clock, we also have a Bible study here. On Monday night, we're studying the book of Acts. Sunday night, we're studying the book of Isaiah. Tuesday afternoon, the ladies are studying Revelation. Wednesday night, we're studying the book of Numbers. And then on Thursday night, we have a Bible study the first Thursday night of the week down at Russ Bullard's in Alexandria, Missouri. And you're welcome to join us there. That's the first Thursday night of each month, and studying the book of Matthew. Oh, it's wonderful to search through the Word of God and enjoy it. So please that you take an opportunity. Why, come to visit us at one or all of them. Come with us and be with us all week some week. We just love to study the Word of God, so please that you come and help us to praise, honor, and glorify the name of Jesus. Now, Philippians chapter 1, going to read from verse 19 through verse 26. I hope that you have your Bibles open now that you can follow along. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of His precious Word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, every opportunity we have to open your precious Word, whether it be as I open it by myself, Father, and enjoy the study of your precious Word, or I have a chance to come across the radio and visit, Father, with these sweet folks that they hear and listen, know of your wondrous gift, the gift of salvation, that one can come by faith to you. Father, I ask that you will convict the hearts, that you'll show them their true self. Show them that the sin that they're in, and that sin, the cost, the wages of sin is death. It's going to cost them everything, and they're going to be eternally separated from you. If any touch, even though, Father, today many folks, a multitude of folks, live in this world not knowing you as their Savior, they still have the benefits of your presence. Well, when we find ourselves out of this world and in the world that's after this one, the time that's after this one, you are going to be totally away, no presence. And Father, we can't imagine what that would be like. So I ask, Father, that by faith you'll touch the heart of every person. They'll realize their sin, they're lost in that sin. They have had no fellowship with you, but they can have if they'll come by faith to you and be saved. Trust in that perfect sacrifice, the offering you gave upon the cross of Calvary. Please that they come and be saved. Please that they trust in you, Lord Jesus. And then that they don't just use it as what some people call a fire escape, and I don't believe those folks are really saved anyway. I believe if you really and truly come by faith to Jesus, then you'll set your heart and your life upon living for you. Now, Jesus, help us to live for you, that we honor and praise and glorify your name. Now, help us with the study today as we continue to go through these wonderful verses of Scripture. And again, the goal is that we come to know you and come to grow in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we looked at the salvation, which meant that Paul would be released from prison. We looked at the earnest expectation that Paul had, and that expectation, the eagerness that he had, a desire he had to get out and continue to proclaim the precious news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge of Jesus, tell people how to be saved, and the drive that he had, the hope. And we had Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, that we read, an anchor to the soul, to hold on to us in this old stormy life, and that was the hope that he had. And again, another verse is Romans 15:13, now that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may be bound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, some sweet verses of Scripture. So we have the salvation that he was talking about here. Of course, salvation to you should be to come to Jesus and be saved, and then to grow. Well, this word here means salvation is to be set free, to be delivered, and the safety that Paul knew that the Lord would take care of and how he would take care of him. And we have the expectation, the yearning, the desire to have that, and knowing, and that's the hope, to know the power of Jesus Christ, to be standing in the with strength through Jesus Christ, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul wanted a clean life, a life that is set, cleansed, ready for service at any time. And I am going to stand before you, Jesus, in that day, and I ask that I have nothing that I'm ashamed of. Oh, that's quite a statement. That's a bold statement. The next word that we discussed was boldness. But that's quite a statement to say that in nothing shall I be ashamed. Paul is saying, I have given my life for you. I have given everything for you. Oh, that we would search out to do the will of God and the power of God with such zeal as Paul did. And he had nothing more than what, he had no greater power than what we could have. We can have that same power and strength of our life if we'll surrender and set out to do his will and be in service to him. He desired that he do it with all boldness. And to the boldness was a frankness, a bluntness, a confidence to go out. And again, this is review from last week, to go out and to take the gospel before a lost and dying world with such clarity, with total and complete power of God, and yet so simple that a child, an adult, anyone, any age will understand. Oh, we don't have to come up with this fancy talk. We just need to tell the simple message that Jesus loves you. And Jesus knows that you're separated from him and from his Father. And he knew from the beginning of time that he would have to come and find a means, have a means in a way, and that way would be Jesus. And Jesus would come, take on the body of a man, and be placed upon the cross, nailed to that cross, and every sin would be placed upon him, the perfect sacrifice. All the beautiful examples that we have as we're studying in the book of Numbers now, but back in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, we've repeatedly looked at the offering, the sacrifices that were offered. And it's such a glorious time and a wonderful time that we have in studying the Scripture, because it gives us the example, a picture of what's to come. And even though there was not one animal ever, there was never one animal that was sufficient to take our sin away, yet still they did that repeatedly, because God gave them means, an example of what was to come. And if you'll come by faith and bring this sacrifice, your sins will be covered. Well, when Jesus went to the cross, everything that was just covered was totally taken away. So if you were an Old Testament, lived during the what we call the Old Testament times, and if you come by faith to Jesus, you still needed to bring this offering, this sacrifice, but it was nothing more than a picture of something to come. And it did, God allowed it to cover that person's sin. If they died before Jesus came to the cross, which a multitude of folks that believed before the cross, they're just as saved as I'm saved. Because I look back to the cross of Calvary, they were looking forward. They need to bring these offerings. Again, by faith, they would bring these offerings, knowing that those offerings were covering their sin and awaiting the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Oh, please, that we come by faith to Jesus. Jesus did come to the cross, and Jesus died on the cross that you and I can live. I ask that you don't miss that. You don't miss that sweet, clear, there's only one way to be saved, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. Don't add anything to that, or don't take anything away from that simple message that Jesus died for your sin. And by you coming to Jesus, you can be saved. It's a done deal. It's finished. But unless you come and accept that free gift, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ your Lord. Unless you accept that gift, it is nothing to you. So please, you don't miss that free gift. Miss that opportunity. Oh, to give that boldness. And he says, Paul says here, and again, the expectation of my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. He wanted to go out with such a clearness. And again, the word for boldness is frankness, bluntness, a confidence to go out and tell people so simply and so clearly how to be saved. And that, as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body. Now, Paul is asking and knows that he's going to be delivered from prison. He's going to be set free. His desire with all of his life, that Christ shall be magnified. Do we need to change our priorities? Verse 21, and we'll come back a little bit here to magnify, but this is such a part of it. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ. Now there's an awful lot of things here that we could add and place instead in the stead of Christ because of the life we live. Now listen very carefully to this. For to me to live is to make more money. For me to live is to hunt. I love to hunt. I love to deer hunt. I love to turkey hunt. I love to do all these things, and nothing and no one is going to tell me that I should be in church, because I'm going to do that. I love to hunt. It's my whole life. So you could say, for me to live is to hunt. You could say, for me to live is to fish. People work all their life, many times work a very hard job so that they can make enough money so that they can buy a bigger boat, fancier fishing equipment, get to go up to Canada and to one of the lakes so that you can fish. Oh, to go all the way around the world to fish for something that you can't find around here. Oh, for me to live is to fish. I love to fish. Many folks are caught up with things that are big, fancy cars, big houses. For me to live is to have this beautiful home someday. And I'm going to work very, very hard. I'm going to work so hard. I'm going to make so much money so I can live in this big house, so I can drive this big car. To live. Oh, for me to live is to be in that big house. That's to live. To have the big business. You could boil it all down to one statement. For me to live is to satisfy self. For me to live is for every one of my desires to be satisfied. For me to live is to make more money than you can imagine. Many people, their whole goal for me to live is to win the lottery. For me to live is to hold some position, political position, to be in power. Oh, if I could hold that position, if I could have that place, oh, that would be to live. To be able to go down and buy a beautiful home on the lake and have a big boat and go down there every weekend, that's to live. Oh, for me to live. Have I hit your weakness yet? There's 1,000 others that I haven't touched on. Some folks, for me to live is to be able to get to the bar on Friday night. Oh, for me to live is just to get through this week so that I can go with my buddies, sit at the tavern. For me to live. For me to live is to be able to get out of that place that doesn't allow smoking anymore and pull that cigarette out of my cigarette pack and smoke that cigarette. Oh, that's life. Many folks are so hooked on drugs today. For me to live is to have one more. Have I found your weakness yet? Paul says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Now, if anything that I have listed here, plus the 1,000 others that I didn't, if your life is set upon things of this life, and I don't know how many folks take an opportunity to go and we've hit it on the hunting and the fishing, where you can look at sports the same way. For me to live, and people that are involved in athletics give their whole life in training. They're totally consumed by training for one activity, for one opportunity to possibly be the best in the world. And they give their whole life for that. Well, they're not going to be, as Paul says here in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Because if you've got your priorities there and can place for me to live is one of these things plus 1,000 others, you will be ashamed. And in most cases, for me to live is without Christ, and if it be without Christ, then for me to live, you're setting, number one, you'll have no peace and joy. You think that you have peace and joy in these things. I can look into your face. I know folks that have confessed to come to Jesus Christ. They've said they have trusted in by faith in Jesus. But because they have chosen these things, for whatever excuse or reason, they've chosen to work, make more money, play. They have chosen all these things and desire not to serve God and not to walk. I can look at them and their countenance will show what their heart is. Their heart is sad. Their heart is broken because they're trying to live the worldly life, and Jesus continues to say, no, you've been blood-bought. You've been blood-bought. The only thing that's going to satisfy your heart, and the only thing that satisfies any heart of this world, the only satisfaction you can have, the only time that you can stand and not feel guilty, not feel condemned, is the day that you're serving Jesus Christ. And God knows that. God knows the only peace and joy and excitement and rejoicing that you can have if you'll come to Jesus and serve Him. But oh, so many things. I don't know how many folks are having the opportunity to listen to this program today. But you can take and be very honest with yourself. For me to live is what? What do you want? What do you want? I've heard so many people and so many reasons. Oh, to live. If I had this, that would be real life. No. There's only one, and that person is Jesus Christ that can give you real life. Paul knew that. Paul could say here, for me to live is Christ. Everything, the person of Jesus Christ. Paul could even go one step further and he could say, to die is gain. To die is gain. Now he didn't promote taking his own life, but he was getting close to his death. And he could see that for me to live is to tell people about Jesus and to help proclaiming the Word of God, to be in service, to be working, not to be working at your job every day to make more and more money so that you can buy things and things that take you. So many folks, when they come to the point of retirement, they've worked all their life and they come to a place of retirement. And many of those folks, and maybe you're one of them that's guilty of this, that you have worked so hard in your life and you have been in service to the Lord Jesus through your life. But now that you've come to a place of retirement, you say, I have done my part. Let someone younger pick up my load. No, there's always more to do. Oh, maybe you'll change and be doing something a little bit different in the name of Jesus Christ, but don't quit. Folks, load up today, and I hope that you're back home if you do this. And it's close. Folks are starting to arrive back home now from their places that they went or through. They leave this beautiful part of the country that we have the snow and the freezing rain, the sleet and all these things, and sub-zero weather for several days, and then the next day it's 50, and everybody's got colds and flu and the wonderful place that we live here. But you know, for you folks that go south, maybe you go for your health. But it's very easy for you to get out of the service. When you go down there, do you dig right in and are you busy about the service of the Lord, praising and honoring and glorifying His name? And you come back and you're right back into service here unto the Lord, using with talents that God has given you? Not in most cases. In most cases, you're worthless on both ends. You are worthless on both ends. Now please be very, very careful. There's nothing wrong with going to find a little time of rest. But Paul, he found his rest in Jesus. We need to take care of this body. This is the temple of God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to take care of that. But please understand that to live is Christ. That's what Paul said. Now, maybe you don't agree with that at all because you fell into one of these other lists that I've given, or again, the 1,000 that I didn't list, but anything that puts Christ below something that you think's important. I ask that you be in service unto the Lord Jesus to your dying day. And be as Paul, that you are there to work. Don't be a pew warmer. God has given you abilities and talents to proclaim the Word of God. Paul's sitting here in prison, and he's getting so excited that he can't wait till the day he gets out to get back to work again. Oh, you'd think that he'd say, I've had enough of this. I've been beaten enough times, I've been thrown in prison enough times, that I'm going home, I'm going to go someplace, I'm going to hide. I'm going to go up into the mountains and hide. I'm going to get away because I am not going to let this happen again. Oh, the longer he sat there, the more he proclaimed it, the more people around the palace were saved, and the more he desired to be out and be free to do one thing, and that's to preach Jesus Christ and tell people how to be saved. Oh, to help folks to grow, to strengthen them. This church of Philippi was close and sweet brothers and sisters to him. And he said, oh, I'm looking forward to one more time to coming back and visiting with you. Oh, please hold on to the truth we're going to find here in verse 27. We didn't read that, but I come and to see you or else to be absent, that I want to hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You want to know what Paul's heart's all about? I think we have it right there. For me to live is Christ. But to die, and death was not an enemy to Paul, because when I die, when he takes me home, when I die, I breathe that last breath of air, when I die, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Amen. I'm going to scream glory the day I meet Jesus face to face. And the second that Paul died, he's going to be in the presence of the Lord. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. That's what the Word of God says. And Paul knew that. Paul was excited about that. Oh, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I hope today that your life changes. Maybe it's a total change of life, because for the first time you understood that you're lost in your sin and you need to be saved. If you understand that today, for the first time the Holy Spirit has penetrated your heart and you're listening very carefully, would you come to Jesus right now? Would you say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Would you please save me? Take my sin away. He will. I love those verses of Scripture in Romans 10 that I quote so often. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, shall be saved. The cost of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please then that you can begin your life. Mine has been an ongoing life from the day I met Jesus almost 22 years ago. I have grown closer to Him, and the doors that He has opened for me, opportunities He's given to me, the closer I can say, oh, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. Not that I can be equal with Paul, not as they were trying to do up there. One preached Christ of contention. No, I want to glorify the name of Jesus. I want to honor the name of Jesus. And there's only one way, my friend, that we can do that, and that is that we know the Word of God, the truth, and we begin the service, the work. Don't be a pew warmer. Don't be one that comes and sits in church and call that to be one that's faithful. Oh, my friend, be in the house of God every time the house opens up. Every time that there's food going to be put on the table, you be there to get it. I know that you do that when you're at home. I know when it comes to be meal time, you're there. Well, you need to think about the same way, the feeding upon the Word of God. Every time the church opens, there's food there. You need that food to survive. Spiritual feeding of the Word of God. You come and you listen to the Word of God and you participate studying in the Word of God. But that's where we have Bible study, so that you can say, hey, I think it says this. I says, well, look at this other verse of Scripture, and we confirm the Word of God by the Word of God. And please that you come to do that. Be faithful to His house, faithful to come and get fed. You won't get too much. You'll never be overfed. You don't even know it. You're starving. You're starving. And you know, sometimes after a child has starved so long, or an adult has been starved so long, it gets to where they hardly can take food in. That's the condition of many Christians' hearts today. They have starved so long that they don't even realize that they're hungry. They don't realize that the food can be right here. Please, that you come today. My friend Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right now we're into the live. Is Christ. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?